Hi, gang. Bob Bulving here for The Mystery Project. We're midway through our serial designed for the summer vacation season. It's called Find the Lady by David Ellis. Andrew Marsh opened his front door to the police one day to find that a full-scale deadly plot had landed squarely in his lap. It started with the loss of his checkbook. Andrew believes a girl named Sheila Ramsey stole his checks when he was visiting her apartment, but she has disappeared. His friend Roger Sherwin volunteers to help locate her, but he's run down and killed on the street in a case that is labeled murder. And again, the police are looking at Andrew, since the murder weapon is a car that fits the description of his, which is reported, rather too late, as stolen. The search for Sheila Ramsey is now more desperate than ever. Andrew traces another man who lost a checkbook, only to find that he has committed suicide. His daughter, Margaret Everhard, joins Andrew in the hunt. Another young woman named Carol Ransom claims to know something important, but she too disappears. And just to keep all the pots boiling, Andrew's wife Joyce has apparently been kidnapped. There's a threatening note warning Andrew to stop his investigation if he wants to see her alive. Find the Lady, Chapter 4, in which Andrew loses his way.
See that telegram, Mr. Marsh?
Certainly. Here you are.
Thank you. I have gone away because I have no choice. Derek Brown has come between us. Forget him, and I may be able to come home. Joyce. Are you sure your wife didn't send this?
As sure as I can be about anything in this damned business. Look, I told you, she doesn't know that Derek Brown was the name on my checks. Well, analyze that message. I have gone away because I have no choice. In other words, she was forced to go. Derek Brown has come between us. Their way of telling me the checks are the reason why she was forced to go. Forget him, and I may be able to come home. Mind your own damn business, and you might see your wife again.
Why didn't they just say that?
I could have shown a message like that to the police. Put in this ambiguous way, there's no point in letting them see it.
What are you going to do about the telegram?
I can't do anything, Miss Everard. If I've read the message correctly, they've got Joyce, and... Well, we know what they're capable of, don't we?
Look, in the circumstances, don't you think formality is out of place?
Formality?
Miss Everard.
Oh, yes, I suppose you're right.
Oh, what was that?
I expect it was the evening paper. I'd better make sure.
Andrew?
Yes?
Have you had anything to eat?
Not since lunchtime. It was the paper.
Would you like me to get you something?
Oh, I don't want to put you to any trouble.
I was thinking of myself as well, if you wouldn't mind if I joined you.
I'd be grateful if you would.
I'll see what's in the fridge, shall I?
Thanks.
How about bacon and eggs?
Couldn't be better.
Two eggs?
Please. Yeah. You know, this just doesn't seem right.
What?
Well, sitting here, deciding how many eggs I want, looking at the paper, while Joyce may be...
You said yourself, you can't do anything.
I know. I feel so damned helpless. Like a man driving a car and the brakes are packed up. I'm heading for a crash and there isn't one single move I can make... Margaret!
Well, just a minute, I'm coping with your eggs.
Blast the eggs. Sorry, but there's something in the stop press.
Well, go on, I'm listening now.
A girl's body was found in the river this afternoon. She's still unidentified, in her early 20s, blonde, wearing a blue two-piece suit.
It can't be your wife.
No, but Carol Ransom's blonde, and when I saw her this morning, she was wearing a blue two-piece.
You don't think she's committed suicide?
Good God, no. If anything, she was murdered.
The Excelsior Club?
Yes.
Why?
Because they found out she'd been to warn me.
Well, aren't you... jumping to conclusions, rather. How could they have found out?
I don't know, but I'll bet you those eggs to a T-bone steak that they did. They seem able to find out any damn thing they want.
If she's identified as Carol Ransom, it'll be in the papers later, won't it?
I expect so. You know, one thing's sticking out a mile. If they're so desperate to stop me playing detective that they have to kidnap my wife and murder Carol Ransom, then I must be as close to them as I am to you. But in spite of that, I haven't the faintest idea who they are. The only thing that's morally certain is that the Excelsior Club is their cover. Oh, damn, damn, damn.
Breaking your crockery won't help.
Oh, I wish it was somebody's neck. Preferably Derek Brown's.
Do you think you could get your mind off violence for a moment?
I'll try.
Does pop music go with bacon and eggs?
Personally, I don't think it goes with anything. I want to hear the next newscast, though. That girl might have been identified. Salt and pepper.
Thank you. Oh, don't hand me the salt.
Superstitious?
I'm afraid so. I expect you think that sort of thing's ridiculous.
No. I'll tell you what I do think. That bacon and eggs looks appetizing.
Wait till you've tasted it.
Is the stool all right, or shall I get you a chair?
Oh, the stool will do. May I take my shoes off? My feet are feeling very unfriendly. Mm. I've overworked them today.
Modeling?
Yes. What the well-undressed girl will wear on the beach next year.
You like doing that sort of thing?
Mm, I like the money. Do you mind?
Well, it's nothing to do with me, is it? But I thought you'd have gone in for, fur coats, dresses. Anything except that beachwear stuff.
You mean in my case, clothes do make the woman?
Good grief, no, I didn't mean that at all.
Well, at least you're not undecided about it.
No, I shouldn't think the cameramen are either.
Oh, I don't mean anything more to them than... Well, then that bacon means to you.
If you knew how much I'm enjoying it, you wouldn't say that.
You're not the slightest bit old-fashioned, are you?
I didn't think I was.
Oh. Tea or coffee?
Tea, please.
I'll put the kettle on. Andrew?
Yes?
I've got a confession to make.
Ha ha. You prefer coffee?
I wish that was all it was. I haven't been completely honest with you.
In what way?
I could have given you more help than I have. Much more. There's a very good reason why I've... I suppose deceived you is the only way to describe it.
Go on.
That reason still stands, but... Well, after what's happened to your wife, I...
Damn.
Well, you'll have to see who it is.
I think it's more important to listen to you.
It could be news about Joyce. If you're right about that telegram, they're bound to follow it up to make sure you understood the message. Oh, please, Andrew, I won't run away.
Well, all right. Keep out of sight, though.
Right.
If it's a messenger from the Excelsior Club, I don't think we ought to let them know that you're here.
I was beginning to think you weren't going to answer the bell. Good evening, Mr. Marsh.
Good evening, Sergeant.
I've been expecting you to call at the station.
Why, what? Oh, good Lord, my car. I'd completely forgotten about it.
Other things on your mind, I dare say.
Yes, I've been busy at work. Matter of fact, I haven't been home long. Look, I'll be with you in half an hour. That'd be all right.
No, Mr. Marsh, it won't. I'll wait for you.
No, please yourself. Just give me a second to turn the radio off and get my coat on.
Go home. I'll get in touch with you as soon as I can.
All right.
Ready when you are, Sergeant. Oh, by the way, how long is this going to take?
It depends entirely on you, Mr. Marsh. Back to the station, Ted.
Where did you find my car?
Not too far away from here. Do you mind doing something else besides identifying your car?
Have I any choice?
Oh, yes. But if you say no, it won't help you very much.
Well, what do I have to say yes or no to?
Taking part in an identity parade.
Well, I can't see any objection to that.
You can't?
Well, as I wasn't in my car when Roger Sherwin was knocked down, no one will be able to pick me out as the driver.
This isn't anything to do with a hit and run. This is a matter of another Dutch chick.
Oh, Derek Brown's still in business, then. Well, that should prove to you that you're wrong about me. I'd be a damn fool to carry on knowing you were looking for more evidence against me.
A damn fool? Or an overconfident one? Anyway, as it happens, this check was passed before we got onto you. About a week ago, Mr. Marsh. In fact, the man who accepted the check is sure that he'll still be able to recognize Derek Brown.
Then I've still no objection to taking part in your identity parade.
Don't forget what I said about overconfidence.
That doesn't apply to me. You'd like me to refuse, though, wouldn't you? That would be as good as a confession.
But not as good as being picked out as the man who passed that check. That would be real evidence. You know how an ID parade works?
I've seen them on TV. You'll have a lineup of volunteers, and I'll be allowed to choose my own place among them.
What happens then?
The man who accepted the check will walk along, and if he recognizes Derek Brown, he'll point to it.
Tap him on the shoulder.
Well, as long as he picks me out, you won't care how he does it, will you?
Get rid of the idea that I'm persecuting you, Mr. Marsh. There's nothing personal in this. I just want the man who passed those checks and ran your friend down, whoever he is.
But it wasn't me. I am not Derek Brown.
It was your shoulder he tapped.
We could have made a mistake. Bring him into this office. Let him look at me again.
Not a chance. He's already made a statement, swearing that you are the man who gave him that check for £320.
What am I supposed to have bought? Something else for my wife?
No, it was money you'd lost gambling.
Gambling? I've never gambled in my life apart... Where did I lose £320?
You know as well as I do.
Well, let's say for a moment that I don't. Where was it?
The Excelsior. You almost said that with me, didn't you?
Listen, to pass a check in a club, I'd have to be a member, wouldn't I?
Or be signed in by one.
Check their membership lists and their visitors' books. See if you can find the name Andrew Marsh.
I've already checked them. Your name isn't there.
Well, then you...
But Derek Brown's is. On his application for membership, his address is the same that was given with those dud checks. Your old flat.
Yeah. Who runs the Excelsior Club? The man who picked me out just now?
He's only the manager.
Well, who gives him his orders?
That's nothing to do with us. Oh, you ready to make a statement now?
No.
Who's your solicitor?
Why?
I'll get him along here. Perhaps he could convince you that you'd be doing yourself a favor to tell us all about those dud checks.
My solicitor isn't short of work, Sergeant. He doesn't have to get me to admit to something I haven't done for the sake of finding himself a client.
I've got enough to do as well, Mr. Marsh. I don't need to waste time trying to make you see sense. You know, I think you've forgotten all the evidence I've got against you.
Here we go again, you and your damned evidence.
Think about it for a minute. I know what your motive was. It started because you were broke. You had to use dud checks to buy your wife the sort of thing she'd been used to.
I haven't bought my wife anything. You talked to her. You should know that.
I know you haven't given her anything yet.
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
You'll find out. Then you and Roger Sherwin realized dud checks would buy stuff that could be turned into money as well as presents for Mrs. Marsh. So you entered a business together. Until one of two things happened. You had a row about the way the proceeds were going to be split, or... he found out we were onto you and he decided to talk to save his own skin. Now, which was it, Mr. Marsh?
Neither.
Well, I believe you ran him down because he was going to talk. Now we'll go for a walk.
Where to?
Round the back of the station. Your car is in the yard there. This is your vehicle, Mr. Marsh?
You know that without asking
me. That's right. We checked the registration number. Look at the near side headlamp.
The glass is broken.
Correct. Now, some pieces of glass were found in the road after Roger Sherwin had been killed. Those pieces have been compared with the glass left in your headlamp. They're identical.
Look, I am not arguing about the fact that my car was used to kill Roger.
Wouldn't be any use, would it? You and your wife drove the car, didn't you?
Yes.
Now, we only found two different sets of prints, none, Mr. Marsh, belonging to the mysterious third party who's supposed to have stolen your car. Naturally, we'll check that the prints we have found belong to you and Mrs. Marsh.
Why bother to check them? You've taken everything else for granted.
Have you got the keys to your car on you, Mr. Marsh?
Yes.
Come round here, please, Mr. Marsh. Unlock the boot, will you, and check the contents?
Sergeant, your honesty is something I'll take for granted.
I want you to unlock it all the same.
Oh, very well. What the...
Someone's been shopping, haven't they, Mr. Marsh? Now, could those parcels be the reason why you didn't want to open the boot?
If I'd known they were there, they would be. Whoever stole the car to kill Roger planted them.
Do you know what's wrong with your story, Mr. Marsh?
I'd be grateful if you'd tell me. I might be able to put it right.
Till this happened, as far as I can make out, you were an honest sort of bloke who had a bit of bad luck. Not the sort who goes around making enemies. But if your story were true, then someone's got a king-size grudge against you. To want to frame you for the dud checks and for murder, well, they definitely have to have it in for you and no mistake. Now, you tell me the name of someone who wants you out of the way that badly, and I'll check and see if there's any chance of them being Derek Brown. Well?
You'll have to give me time to think about it.
That's the best you can do. No name?
Damn it, man, I don't keep the names of everyone I've upset at some time or another on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, it could be something that happened years ago.
I see. Well, you're going to have plenty of time to think, so let me know if anything comes to mind. Now, let's get back to these parcels. You see the labels? On a couple of them there. Rutland's of Bond Street, and Wiley's of Oxford Street. Same shops where your checks turned up.
Yes, I saw that. Well, you'll want those parcels out of the boot before I take the car, won't you?
Where were you thinking of taking your car to, Mr. Marsh?
Well, home, first of all.
I'm afraid you won't be going home. I told you you'd have plenty of time to think, didn't I?
You believe you've got enough evidence to charge me now?
I'm sure I've got enough. Roberts, bring these parcels into the office, will you, and... Marsh! Marsh, come back, you damn fool! Roberts!
Evening, Joe.
Oh, hello, Mr. Marsh.
Busy?
No, sold 5 gallons in the last couple of hours, that's all.
Yeah, Mr. Rodden, you'll be going bankrupt.
I should go,
Joe, will you do something for me?
Huh?
Would you get the sports job out, the black one, and put some juice in her? I've got to give a customer a trial run.
Well, at this time of night?
Well, he's going away on business first thing in the morning. Look, I'm going to make a phone call. It'll only take a couple of minutes.
Okay, Mr. Marsh. Leave it to me.
Thanks, Joe. Margaret.
Who's that?
Andrew Marsh.
Where are you?
In the garage, the place where I work. Rankin was going to arrest me. I ran for it.
And?
I know it was a damn stupid thing to do, but I didn't have much choice. I couldn't do anything about the Excelsior Club from a prison cell.
How did you manage to escape?
We were in a yard behind the station identifying my car. The street gates were open and I ran like blazes. Luckily, there were plenty of people around. They must have got in the way of the law. It sounded like bedlam behind me.
Didn't anyone in the crowd try to stop you?
Well, by the time they realized what was going on, it was too late.
What are you going to do?
God only knows. Whatever it is, I've got to keep damn quiet about it. If they have got Joyce...
I'm afraid they have. Before I left your flat, there was a phone call. It was a man's voice. He gave me a message for you. Stay out of our affairs, and we'll let your wife visit you in prison.
Maybe I'd better go back to the police. At least I'd know Joyce would be safe. Listen, Margaret. Mm. When Rankin came tonight, you were going to tell me something.
Yes, I...
Hold on.
All okay, Mr. Marsh.
Oh, thanks, Joe. With you in a minute. All right, carry on.
There's one thing you can do, and I'm sure you won't have to worry about anything happening to your wife, because no one can possibly know about it.
Well, what is it?
Talk to Sheila Ramsey.
Well, I have to find her first.
I can tell you where she is.
You can... For God's sake, why haven't you told me before?
There isn't time to explain, but believe me, Andrew, if it had been up to me, I'd have told you.
Where is Sheila?
Do you know a place in Kent called Kingsgate?
Kingsgate? Yeah, just outside Broadstairs, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. Now, she's living in a cottage there. I'll tell you how to find it. Take the M2, and just before you get into Margate, you turn off to the right.
Shut the door, you fool. Do you want everyone at the club to hear you?
Sorry, Mr. Lloyd.
Where's Andrew Marsh now?
Well, right after Alf was on the blower to you, he come out of the garage. Driving a jalopy, he was. Sports car-like.
Got the number?
Sure, Alf wrote it down. There you are, Mr. Lloyd.
Mm.
You're not going to turn him into the coppers, are you?
I don't know yet.
Let me have it for half an hour, eh? It's time you let me have a bit of fun, Mr. Lloyd.
You had your fun with a girl.
Not me, Mr. Lloyd. Alf wouldn't let me anywhere near her.
You know why, too. She had to look as though she'd fallen in the river, not been pushed there by a 10-ton truck. If you'd get your hands on her, no one would ever have recognized the poor bitch again. You want to let Alf show you how to do these things?
Like he did with that Jag.
That was necessary. Where did Marsh go in this car?
Out by the elephant, up to Blackheath.
Mm-hmm.
Alf said I'd better get back to the club, because you'd want to know what was going on. Alf reckons he's heading for some place like Dover.
Dover? Is he trying to get out of the country?
Don't know, Mr. Lloyd.
I wasn't asking you. Get me a drink, Max.
Sure, Mr. Lloyd. Can I have one?
Help yourself. When did you leave, Alf?
About an hour back.
So if Marsh is heading for the Kent coast, I should hear something pretty soon. Alf's gonna phone me, I suppose.
That's right, Mr. Lloyd. Where do you want your drink?
Put it in the desk.
Well, cheers, Mr. Lloyd.
Yeah. If Marsh isn't trying to get out of the country, what the hell is he doing?
Aye?
Never mind. Oh, finish your drink and get out.
You won't give him to Elf, will you, Mr. Lloyd?
I might not give him to either of you. I might let the police have him. I don't know yet.
You have to ask, will you?
Ask who?
Him.
I don't have to ask anyone about what I do. Especially him. He's the one that got us into this fix. You know that, don't you, Max?
Yeah, Elf was telling me.
We had a first-class operation going, and he damn near ruined it because...
Because what, Mr. Lloyd?
That doesn't concern you.
Now, will things be okay again when this Marsh bloke's off our backs, won't they, Mr. Lloyd?
It's getting him off, though, Max. That's the trouble. He said Marsh's wife disappearing and make him see sense, but it doesn't look like it has. This time, I'll handle it.
Can I have some more orange juice, Mr. Lloyd?
No, clear out. Go back to that rat hole you call home. When I've heard from Alf, I'll let you know if I want you.
Give you a hand, chump.
What? No, I'm all right.
Shame your tar didn't blow on the motorway. You could have got help there.
I think I can manage to change a wheel.
Yeah. Tricky, though, in the dark, isn't it? Got a match on you?
There's a lighter in my pocket. Would you like to get it? My hands are filthy.
Sure. This pocket?
That's it. Got it?
Yeah. Tar. Blimey, that's better. I just fancied a fag and all me ready matches had gone.
Yeah.
Then I saw you and thought, well, no harm stopping and asking. Here, I'm forgetting me manners. Have a fag?
No, thanks.
Put your lighter back in your pocket, shall I? Here you are, chap. How are you doing with those wheel nuts?
Yeah. That's the last one.
Well, I'll stick the dud in the boot, shall I?
Thanks.
Going far?
No. It starts at Broadstairs.
Broadstairs, eh? Haven't been there for years. Queer, that. Only the other day, the wife said... Alf, she said, it's ages since you and me have been to Broadstairs. How about a day out, eh, Alf boy?
Damn.
Is something wrong?
No, just nicked my finger.
Lucky if that's all that happens to you before you get home, mate.
What? How do you mean?
Well, no one's safe on the roads nowadays, are they? What part of Broadstairs, then?
A couple of miles outside, near Kingsgate Castle.
Don't know that part myself. Well, thanks for the light. See you again, eh?
Yeah, good night. Andrew Marsh.
Andy? Andy, what are you doing here?
All the stupid questions.
I suppose you're looking for me.
Oh, clever girl. Now I find you, I don't intend saying cheerio and going away again, so how about asking me in?
Oh, I'm sorry, Andy. Come in.
Thank you very much. It took you long enough to come to the door.
Yes, I was in bed. Andy, you weren't followed, were you?
No, not a chance.
Still, I'll bolt the door again. I'll feel safer. Take your coat off, Andy.
Yeah, thank you. Well, you're nice and cozy here, aren't you?
It's lonely, though. No one to talk to. Oh, I wish I was back in my flat.
You didn't leave there because your husband was on your trail, did you?
I'm not even married. You know that. I told you.
You told me a lot of things.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sheila, you could be back in your flat in a couple of days. All you have to do is go with me to the police.
Well, I don't want to go to prison. I'd rather stay here.
Who said you'd have to go to prison? You could make a bargain, a signed statement in exchange for them being easy on you when you said your piece in court.
I'm not saying a word in court, Andy. It would get into the papers, and if they hadn't caught them all...
The police would give you protection.
I wouldn't even be safe crossing the road. You know what happened to Roger.
Yeah. Sheila, if you don't want to spend the rest of your life hiding down here, you've got to tell me and the police everything you can about the Excelsior Club.
How did you find out about the club?
Through some checkbooks I found in Roger's desk. They led me to Margaret Everard, and she told me about her father. Sheila, I don't suppose it's much use asking you to do anything for my sake,
Andy, wait a minute. How did the checkbooks lead you to Margaret?
Oh, do you have to know now?
Yes, I do. Tell me how you met her.
Oh, all right. I got her address from a shop her father went to in the West End.
Her home address?
Well, yes, of course.
When did you go there?
Last Monday. Sheila, what are you getting at?
What does Margaret look like?
Look like? What's another stupid question?
Tell me, Andy.
Oh, well, she's the same height as you, blonde.
She isn't.
What?
I'm at least 4 or 5 inches taller than Margaret, and she's nothing like a blonde. She's just the opposite.
Now, you must be wrong. This girl was living in the Everards' house.
Margaret hasn't been in their house for a fortnight or more.
What?
That's why I asked you about the checks. I couldn't understand how you managed to find her through them.
Well, where is she, then?
In Scotland.
Scotland?
Look, I had this postcard from Inverness. Only came the other day.
Let's see if I can make out the postmark. Wait, it looks like the 27th. Monday was the 27th. Sheila, if Margaret Everard was in Scotland on Monday...
She was, Andy. She must have been.
Then who the devil was the girl I talked to?
The only question we're prepared to answer is that you've been listening to Chapter 4 of Find the Lady by David Ellis. For things like who the girl really is, you'll have to come back for Chapter 5. I'm Bob Boving, thanking you for listening and inviting your comments. The executive producer of The Mystery Project is Bill Howell. See you next week.